the fruit of the Spirit is the natural product of a life yielded to God's control. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains God's process for growing spiritual fruit in our lives.
There will be some days where it won't be the monumentous victories, but I want to tell you, if you just keep sailing on and keep on being faithful, God will be faithful to you. Be faithful at work. Be faithful to your family. Be faithful in your stewardship. Be faithful in the area that God has blessed you with.
Every believer has the capacity to bear the fruit of the Spirit. In our series, Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows, we will learn how to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you want to learn how to have peace in the midst of a storm, how to keep joy when depression comes, how to practice patience through difficulty, and how to love the unloved, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Faith Grows Where the Stream Flows.
I heard of a mother that was putting her little four-year-old to bed recently, and it was kind of a cold, dark, stormy night, and dad was off on a business trip. It was just mom and her daughter at home alone. And the little four-year-old, as the light was turned out, she got a little bit frightened. And the truth was, mom was a little frightened as well. And the four-year-old girl looked up outside the window and she saw the moon up in the sky. And she said, "Mom, is the moon God's light?" And the mom said, "Well, yeah, the moon is God's light." And she said, well, Mom, does God put out his light at night when he goes to sleep?" And the mom said, "Well, sweetheart, God never goes to sleep." And then with a simplicity of faith, the little girl said to her mother, "Well, as long as God is awake, there's no sense in both of us being awake." Now, how many of you are glad tonight that God is always awake? God is always awake. He is always watching. He is always over us and faithful to us this morning. He is faithful during the trials. Secondly, I want to tell you this morning that God is faithful to forgive our sin. He is faithful to forgive our sin. Now, how many of you, since you became a Christian, have sinned? Very good. Some of you just woke up, and that's good too. Every one of us that are honest would say, since I became a Christian, there's some things I wish would not have happened. I want to show you something about the faithfulness of God. Look in your notes there to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I'm glad this morning I don't have to confess my sin to a pastor or a priest or someone like that. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is called in the Bible the great high priest, and that we can come directly to him and we can confess our sin and we can know this, that he is always there, he is always faithful, he is always just based upon the blood that he shed on the cross to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so this morning we can know from the Word of God that he is faithful, he is immutable, he never ever changes. In fact, the Bible says in Malachi, "I am the Lord and I change not." God is faithful. But it's even better than that this morning, because God's Word is faithful. God's Word is faithful. I'm thankful this morning that while culture changes and while people change and circumstances change, there is an eternal Word that I can open and I can know that His Word never changes. Psalm 119 and verse 86 says this, "All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me." Psalm 119, 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Thank God this morning that he is faithful and that his word is constantly available and faithful for every one of us. In fact, 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful." He cannot deny himself. Now think about that. If we believe not, in other words, when we're a little wishy-washy and not where we should be, the Bible says that still he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He remembers that day when you accepted him as your Savior. And the Bible says no one can pluck us out of his hand. The Bible says he sealed that decision. And even when we're not living like we belong to him, yet at that time, he is faithful. Now, how's that for a faithful God and for a faithful word? Now, sometimes people act like God's word is not faithful and they don't know if they can put their trust in him. I heard of a man who told the story. He said there was a man who once met God, and he said to God, he said, God, what is a million years to you? And God said, it's like a second. And he said, well, God, what is $10 million to you? And God said, well, it's like a dime. And the man said, well, then can I borrow a dime? And God said, just a second. Now, sometimes there are people who want God to do something for them right now. They want God to lift the trial immediately. They want God to solve everything right now. But I want to remind you this morning that God's delays are not God's denials. And that when it may seem to you like you're in a waiting mode, that God is still faithful at that moment. And that God is still working at that moment. And so our example in faithfulness is the God who created us. Notice secondly this morning, our exhortation to be faithful. Our exhortation to be faithful. Now, if you have your Bible this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, as we learn about the fruit of faithfulness this morning and how God exhorts us to be faithful. Now, doesn't it make sense that if we've been born again by the Spirit, no church can bring the new birth, but if we've been born again by the Spirit, then God's Spirit within us will help us to become more like the Lord as we walk in His Spirit. And that's what 1 Corinthians 4, 2 is talking about. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found, what's the last word say? Faithful. Now here's the requirement of the Christian life, okay? Let's just bring it right down to the bottom shelf. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. God is not asking you to have all of the talents or abilities or all of the opportunities even that someone else might have, but there is one universal requirement for the Christian today, and that is that we would be like him in the area of being faithful. In fact, notice in your notes this morning, God requires faithfulness. God requires faithfulness. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. He doesn't require that you sing. He doesn't require that you give. He doesn't require all these things. Those are things that will come perhaps in some of your life, but he does require faithfulness to the Lord. We were visiting years ago, Yellowstone Park. And as we were on a family vacation, I think the kids were 4, 6, 8, and 10. We had done a little research as we were getting ready to go there, and we heard about a particular geyser called what? Old Faithful. Now, we didn't go to see Old Unreliable. I mean, we weren't going to spend a whole day wondering if maybe this water is going to start steaming up out of the ground. No, we went to see Old Faithful. Why? Because in a very predictable fashion, about every 90 minutes or so, here you can stand around this national park area there, and the national park worker will tell you about Old Faithful, and he'll begin to time it down, and sooner than you know, here it comes, just as it says, Old Faithful. Now, most of us today would say, hey, I don't want to be called old, but I don't mind being called faithful. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a faithful husband. I want to be a faithful father. I want to be a faithful pastor. I want to be a faithful friend. And God says it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Now, let me give you a few thoughts about faithfulness and God's word requiring faithfulness. First of all, I believe God would have every one of us to be faithful in our workplace. Faithful in our workplace. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I believe if you're a Christian who's filled with the Spirit, that should be exhibited in a faithful work ethic and a faithfulness to do what you've said you will do. I believe God wants us, secondly, to be faithful to our families. I believe that a Christian who's walking in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but he will do the bidding of the Holy Spirit in his life, and that includes for his family. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And I believe as we walk in the Spirit, wives will be more faithful to their husbands and husbands more faithful to their wives. And I believe God wants you to keep on going forward as a faithful Christian. Perhaps some of you heard the story about the two frogs that fell into the bucket of cream, and boy, they were in there swimming around in this cream. And the first frog, he got discouraged. He said, this is nuts. Nothing's happening. I keep trying to jump up and I can't get out. I try to scratch my way up and it's too slippery. And so he got discouraged. And after a while, he just determined that that would be his fate. And he drowned in the cream. Well, the second frog, he said, now, I don't know what I can do, but at least I can keep trying to tread in this cream and I'll just keep doing the best I can. And that's what he did. He said something might happen and he just kept kicking and churning. And finally, he found himself on a platform of butter and he jumped up out of the bucket and went on to safety. And I want to tell you, some days that's about all you can do is just keep treading, right? Just keep treading. Christopher Columbus, many times in his daily journal, he just simply wrote out these words. He said, today we sailed on. Today we sailed on. There will be some days, some times in your life where it won't be the monumentous victories. But I want to tell you, if you just keep sailing on and keep on being faithful, God will be faithful to you. Be faithful at work. Be faithful to your family. May I say thirdly, be faithful in your stewardship. Be faithful in the area that God has blessed you with. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 16, or notice in your notes there, Luke 16, verse 10. Luke 16, verse 10. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? God says, if you'll be faithful in a little, I'll allow you to be faithful with more. And by the way, thank God that he is true to his word. And he simply says, when we are faithful to him, he will be faithful to us. And then I want to challenge you this morning, another area of faithfulness. I believe God would have every one of us to be faithful in our church attendance. Faithful in our church attendance. Look in your notes at a verse that is sometimes forgotten, Hebrews 10:25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God says, listen, as the day is approaching, as my return is drawing nigh, don't fall into this trap of lukewarmness that will come over many churches and many Christians, but so much the more we need to be faithful in this day. A pastor friend of mine did something last Easter I'm not sure I would have done. I hope he said it tongue in cheek. But he stood up after the Easter services. He said, for all the visitors, it's been great having you here today, and we'll see you at Christmas. Now, I don't know that that's the best diplomacy, but the fact of the matter is that sometimes we find in this day a lack of faithfulness. How I thank God for a church family that faithfully desires to hear the Word of God. God requires faithfulness. But now I want to share something with you that I hope will be a blessing to you. You see, God never requires us to do something that he doesn't enable us to accomplish. God's calling always is accompanied with God's enabling. And so I want you to take note that God produces faithfulness. In other words, God doesn't just require it, but God's going to give you the desire and the ability to accomplish it. That's why it says in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, or faithfulness. You see, Ephesians 5:18 says it this way, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So as I am filled with the Spirit, I will be controlled by the Spirit, and I will have desires to be faithful where I normally would not have desired to be faithful. Now God is producing that desire within me. He's doing that good work in me that I could not have produced. And because of his Spirit working within me, I learn that faithfulness is the disposition of the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness is being created in my heart by God at work in my heart. How many of you can know and you can say, Pastor Chapel, there have been times in my life when God put a desire on my heart that I wouldn't have normally wanted to do myself, but I know it was God putting that on my heart. Isn't that a great thing? That's what God can do in your heart. You see, our example in faithfulness is God himself. The exhortation to faithfulness is simply found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Now, let's notice something thirdly that many times we don't think about like we should, but that is our examination in faithfulness. In other words, if you are at work and something is required of you, then there will be an examination of that which has been required. If you are in school and there is something required of you at school, such as a term paper, there will be an examination of that term paper. Now, I had a friend in college once who was required to write a term paper on Old Testament history. And he thought he would write about whatever. He wrote about his pet dog, his pet cat, his grandmother. He was convinced that the professor never read the term papers. Boy, did he make a mistake. The professor examined his term paper thoroughly and gave him a mark according to his effort. Now, I want you to think about for these next few moments the fact that the Lord examines the faithfulness of his children. Why would he require something of us in faithfulness if he's not going to bother to take note? Now turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 again, and let's see what the Bible says in verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. So Paul says, it's not the biggest thing in the world for you to judge me. He says, I don't even judge my own self. He says, my assessment of where I am spiritually isn't good enough. He says, I don't know anything about myself that I know to be wrong at this moment, but he says, that doesn't justify me. Why? Verse 4 says, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Now let's say that together, ready, begin. But he that judgeth me. Now notice the phrase judgeth me. It is in the present tense. It implies a constant divine scrutiny. Paul said, hey, it's a small thing what these guys think. What really matters is that the Lord is constantly scrutinizing, constantly evaluating. He knows every missed opportunity. He knows every blunder. And he also knows every time I obeyed him. And so we must come to a place in our lives where we realize there is a much higher standard than what someone else would say. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now notice there in verse 5 what it says. Therefore judge nothing before the time. Notice the next four words. Until the Lord come. Now that's what I want to talk to you about for the next 5 minutes. The fact that the Bible says the Lord will come. John chapter 14 and verse 3. Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, the Bible says there will be scoffers in the last days who will say, yeah, well, the Lord said he would come and he's never come. But the Bible does say that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. On God's economy, on God's time scale, it's been 2 days since he said that. Now, I want you to realize, my friend, that the Lord is coming again. Now, as we think about facing the Lord someday, I believe that in this passage, we're not talking about what Revelation calls the great white throne judgment. That's the judgment for those who rejected Jesus. This is talking about the judgment seat of Christ, or sometimes called the bema seat of Christ, where we as Christians will be rewarded for our good deeds and where we'll have the opportunity to lay down rewards at Jesus' feet. Now, when you think about standing before the Lord, there are two things I want to remind you of this morning. The first one, letter A, is this. We all have different opportunities. We all have different opportunities in this life. Sometimes people compare themselves with others, and they're unwise in doing that. Now, let me show you what the Bible says in Matthew 25. And if you have a Bible, let me encourage you to turn there to see how God views this situation. Matthew 25 is one of the parables of Jesus Christ. It's commonly called the parable of the talents. And this is where Jesus talks about a good man that leaves some things to his children or to his servants, and then he goes into a far country. Most theologians and Bible scholars believe that Jesus was referring to himself, and that he was saying that he would leave some things to his disciples, that he would go away and then come back again to judge them based upon their faithfulness to him. Now let's read it. Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now we can read on with the story. The man with 2 talents, he invested wisely. The man with 1, he did not invest wisely, and he was not rewarded. Now, I don't know what these guys were thinking. One guy receives 5, one guy receives 2, one guy receives 1. The guy with 1 talent might have said, whoa, this is not the time to invest. I'm going to bury this in the ground. And because of that, he squandered the opportunity to make a difference with what God had given to him. The other 2 men said, I don't understand how it will work, but by faith they invested wisely and they were rewarded accordingly. Those servants who had invested their talent or their lives wisely, when Jesus came, they were very excited. The one who had squandered his life was very sad. And I find that to be true today. People who are living their life with the Lord in mind have an excitement and a joy. And people who are not oftentimes have a sadness and will resent your joy. The talents show us that unequal gifts, if used with equal faithfulness, will be equally rewarded. Unequal gifts, if used with equal faithfulness, will be equally rewarded. Someone says, well, I don't have the talent he has. I don't have the treasure he has. I don't have the opportunities that that guy has. And the fact is, that's not the issue today. God wants you to be faithful with what you do have, not with what you do not have. And so we all have different opportunities. Secondly, we will all be examined according to our faithfulness. Again, we will be examined according to our faithfulness. Notice there in Matthew 25:19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. The word reckoneth is an accounting term. He is going to bring into account how you have done with this life. Have you been faithful? Have you been faithful with your family? Have you been faithful with God's blessings? Listen very carefully. We as Christians are not called to be successful. We are called to be faithful. And in this success-oriented society, we need to wake up to the fact that there will be some people with very little in this life who are faithful to the max, and they will be way in front of the line at the judgment seat of Christ, receiving rewards for their faithfulness unto the Lord. That's why John the Revelator said in Revelation 2 and verse 10, for none of those things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. John says, I want to challenge you. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. And I believe that for Christians who are faithful all the way until God calls them home, one of the rewards at the judgment seat of Christ is called a crown of life. It's given to faithful people, not people who were so successful, but people who just kept on keeping on and sailed on another day. The Bible says they will receive the crown of life. Now let's wrap this up this morning. Matthew 25:21 says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. I hope that you are living your life with this thought in mind. One day, when I see the Lord, I would like to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to live my life in such a way that one day I might hear those words. I want to challenge you to do the same. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure that when you pass from this life, you would enter into a place called heaven, we'd love to take a moment at the end of this service and show you from God's Word how you can know for sure that one day heaven would be your home.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Friend, if you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748.
In life, there's nothing more important than knowing where you'll spend eternity. Some people believe that being a good person is their pass to get into heaven, or that this life is all there is. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Pastor Paul Chappell wants us to send you his newest book called Paid in Full, Your Debt, God's Payment, as a thanks when you support this ministry financially. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this book for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-688-6329 or dailyintheword.org. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.